It ought to be an honor of ours to worship Him, praise Him. Sometimes you got to dig deep down inside and just give a shout to God and glorify Him. You got to understand what you're up against. Sometimes the song is just not there. Maybe you're not feeling it. But that's not why we sing. We sing because of who He is. There's a song that we sing, because of who You are, I give You glory. Is that why we do it? Because of who You are, I give You praise. That's what we should do. Doesn't make a difference what we feel. Because of who You are, how many want to lift your voice? I'll lift my voice, not because I feel like it, not because everything's going my way, because we might as well face it. We're going to have good days and bad days. We're going to have ups and downs. Or maybe nobody here went through 2014 beside me. But you went through 2014, you had good days. And you had some bad days. You had some ups and downs, but what do? We praise God no matter what. He said, in everything, give thanks. Not in some things, in everything. So you got to give God thanks. No matter what you're faced with, no matter what you're going through, we got to praise Him. And it's because of who He is. Now, I mentioned that song, and the Lord just reminded me. I never had that thought before, while I was preparing for the service or during the song service. Just a moment ago, the Lord reminded me of that. Because He gave me something last Sunday, during that night, that Saturday night, I laid down, I said, Lord, speak to me in dreams and visions. Just like I've been telling the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm going to walk in health. I'm going to be healthy. Are You the healer? Because I'd gotten a habit where if I felt ill, my first thing to do was to try to fix what the illness was out my mind. And use another means. But I say, God, You're the healer. And I tell you what, within a couple of days, I begin to see a progression. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to come all at once. You just got to keep speaking it. And let me tell you, this year we're going into, it's going to be a year of rest. How many ready for rest? A year of rest. A new year. We're going to have, this year is going to be a year of rest. And I want you to embrace that. Every time we see this in Scripture, where He does things on the 15th. Everybody say 15. So we're going into 2015, and where He does things on the 15th. Now we have a lot of things that God promised on the 15th. And every time we see the promises of God on the 15th, it has something to do with rest. Now, I want you to know it's not just going to be a time of rest, but it's going to be a time of divine grace. Divine grace. How many ready for the divine grace? So we got a couple of things that happen. You'll see, I may have some slides for this later on, but I want you to write these things down while I'm giving to you. So 2015 is going to be rest. It's going to be a time of divine grace. Now, I want you to hear this. It's also going to be a time of divine perfection. So if I take divine perfection, which is the number three, times the number five, which is the number five represents divine grace, then we're going to have that. So it's going to be amazing. So we're going to have divine protection and perfection, divine grace. All those things coming together. I don't know about you, but I'm excited. Now, 14 represents a time. 13 was a time of trouble. 14 is a time where deliverance take place, and now we're stepping into rest. How many ready for rest? Now, you have to understand, it's up to you how much you rest. So the whole 2015 can go by and say, I don't know what Pastor was talking about. I sure didn't rest. That's because you spoke it over yourself. Everybody else is resting, and you have unrest. So listen to me careful. God can give us release, and you can be in the same house, hearing the same message, one guy have rest and the other guy have no rest. How many want rest? But it's going to be up to you to receive it for yourself. Remember, receiving is an act of your own will. Remember that. It's an act of your will, not my will. I can't receive for you. Receiving is an act of your own will. You got to reach out and grab hold to it. Now, if we took the receiver on a football team, that's what we call them receivers for, right? And tell them, go down the field and go all. When we were kids, we'd say, I'm going for the bomb. How many know what that means? Throw it long, far as you can throw it. I'll be there. And we take off. Now, the quarterback, just say he's on target every time. So we can't be talking about Breeze. All right? Just say, we can make it up as we go here. The quarterback I'm talking about, he's on target every time. That means he hits the receiver in his hands every time he throws it. But what is it up to after the quarterback throws the ball and it hits the receiver's hand? Who's it up to then? It's up to the receiver. The receiver's got to reach out, grab hold to it, and pull it in. I don't care how good the quarterback is. Once the ball's in the air and it hits him in his hand, it's up to the receiver. I'm telling you, that's what God has, a strong right arm. And it's God's not the issue. He's going to put it out to us in this year, and it's going to be up to us to walk in it. How many ready for that? So there are many things. There's a list of things we could go over what God wants us to walk in. But this is an exciting time because we're going to have a time of rest, meaning if you'll receive these things, you're not going to be as troubled as you were in 2014 over the same issue. In 2015, same issue, you won't be as troubled because you're going to experience the rest of God. You're going to know that he's well able. How many know he's well able to do exceedingly, abundantly above? How many ready for some abundantly above stuff in 2015? Abundantly above whatever we ask or think. According to the power that works in us. That's why we got to tap into that power source. Because it's that working power of God. Now, let me tell you, the Word of God is quick and powerful. It'll do the job, but we got to grab hold to it. We have to embrace it. So I want you to remember this. 2015 that we're about to walk into is going to be a time of rest. You got to receive that. The stuff that bugged you and kept you up at night won't keep you up no more. The stuff I was having trouble with and struggling over, I'm not going to have trouble with and struggle over no more. I'm going to get some peace about this. But not only rest, but I want you to understand this, divine grace. Five represents divine grace. Divine grace. How many want to begin to walk in the grace that God has bestowed on us? Anybody messed up in 2014? Maybe said the wrong thing, acted the wrong way, thought the wrong thoughts, just slipped up and just messed up? Anybody? Maybe you had a perfect 2014, but I remember a couple days that I might have messed up here. Huh? How many know there's divine grace for that? There's grace to help us. But the more you walk in the grace of God, you take on something different than the nature that wants to sin. We kind of got on this subject, I don't know if it was yesterday, when it was, a couple days ago. We got on talking about, with my brother-in-law here, talking about sin nature. And let me tell you, the sin nature, that's passed on to every person. Every one of us here has been passed on to us. But when you're born again, something happens to you. You take on a divine nature through Christ. Now, somebody had to first prove there was a divine nature. We don't have a whole lot of proof with the first Adam. Right? He don't prove a whole lot to us. We talk about him being in the image of God, created in God's own image. God breathes in him the breath of life, and there he is, the first human being. But it wasn't long after that, he didn't walk in a divine nature, even though he had one. But he walked in a sin nature, meaning he broke the commandment of God. God gave him a commandment. But what did Jesus do? Jesus came and he said, I'll come in the volume in the book to do thy will, O God. Whatever it is, tell me what you want. Because it's not my will, but your will. Let me just tell you, Jesus would have never made it to the cross if he wouldn't have surrendered his will in the garden. Do you understand that? I want you to be clear on that. Jesus would have never made it to the cross where he would have been a perfect sacrifice. Never would have happened if he wouldn't have surrendered his will to God in the garden. So when Jesus surrendered his will in the garden, it was as if Calvary had already taken place. He was a dead man. Do you understand that? It never happened yet. But in his life, he was already sacrificed. To me, that's incredible. How many want to live that out? How many, did it mean that he didn't suffer from then on? No, he suffered. But he was able to make it through because he accepted what was about to happen. He accepted it. God, this is your will. And so there's going to be some things that we're going to go through in 2015 that are going to be the will of God. But I'm all right with that. How many of you know you can go through some things that's in the will of God, but it doesn't match what you want, but you can still have rest in it? So Jesus was able to have rest in the most difficult time of his life. That's why he said, Father, it's finished. And things begin to happen. So we're going to look at some scripture pertaining to that and how incredible it was. But how many ready for this? 2015, a year of rest, divine grace. Divine grace and divine perfection all coming together. And when you have that, you're going to have rest in it. Because you know whom you believe in. Then you're persuaded that he is able to keep you. How many believe that God is able to keep you? No matter what you face. You know, it'd be great if we could just sit down and figure out everything you're going to go through in 2015. We can know every day, every situation, and I can tell you, if you knew everything you would face in 2015, if God would show you in advance, not one of us here wouldn't want to sit down and try to change some of the things that we might have to. We'd want to say, okay, God, can I change this? I mean, you know, you don't have to worry about that. You're going to have rest in 2015 because it don't make no difference what you face, what you go through. You know God's going to give you grace. And you're going to have that divine grace come over you at that time so you'll have peace. But how many ready to surrender today? We've got a few moments in this year to talk about these things, but you're going to have to surrender your will to God. Surrender your will to God. How many want to do that? That's what I've been telling the Lord. I said, Lord, you know, it doesn't make a difference what I think. Doesn't make a difference really anything that goes on in my mind as I'm trying to figure it out. So I'm surrendering my mind to you. And I'm surrendering my will to you. And God, I want whatever you want. But your word declares some things and I want to walk in the things it declares. So how many know you got to start speaking those things over your life? God's word declares those things and I'm good with whatever it declares and I want to walk that out. And that's what we ought to do every day. And these are some important principles. So I want you to understand these things. Let's cover a couple of things. I'll point out some things to you. This is just for your study. You can go back and look at this. But we'll read a few things. I think it'll be a help to us to look at some of these things. The number 15 in the Bible pictures rest, which comes after deliverance, represented by 14. So we have 14 is a time of deliverance. I hope you got your deliverance. We got a little bit of time left. Anybody needs some deliverance? Anybody? This is going to be us interacting with each other. We only got a little bit of time. How much time we got for the new year? What I got? 58 minutes. Depending on how bad you in bondage. We don't know if we got enough time with 58 minutes or not. But 14 is deliverance. Now let me tell you why it's important to understand deliverance in 14. Because you won't have no rest in 15 if you take that same bondage into there. Now I'm going to talk about this. How many been worried about your sickness and your disease and your illness and the attacks physically on your body? Now, I want you to don't be saying, well, I ain't worrying. Don't you raise your hand if you've been worrying about that at all. Any kind of worry when it comes to your physical body, where it bothers you, bugs you. Sometimes you think about it at night. You think about it in the morning. You say, why? You make this statement. Why? What's going on? What am I need to do? Anybody here, all right, you can't carry that with you in 15 because you'll still do it. And it don't take the whole, you know, we can't go back and do all those days, but we got an hour. And it doesn't take God long, but a minute. You got to walk in it and say, I am not going to succumb to that anymore. Because the word says I'm healed. We're talking about there's a sin nature. Now, the sin nature is susceptible to all of that stuff. It's susceptible to it. It's under rule of the sin nature. Sickness, disease, poverty, lack. How many understand that? All of that is connected to the sin nature. But that's not who we are anymore. Not if you're born again. What are we living in? Divine nature. How many understand that? Everybody say divine nature. It's different than the sin nature. Big difference. In the sin nature, there's no blessings. You can get along. You can cope. You can work hard until you can't go no more, until your body runs out, and you can accomplish some things. Then you can get along and do some stuff. But you're still in the sin nature. And when your life expires, even though you accomplish things, it's the end. But in divine nature, you may not accomplish as many things as people might think you should accomplish. But one thing's for certain, no matter what happens in your life, you have obtained something that's eternal. How many want that in your life? Now, we read about this divine nature. Jesus possessed this divine nature. And he possessed it because he was tempted in all points. But he never sinned. Testing and challenging whether or not he would take up the sin nature. But he never did. He walked out and secured, as it were, for all of us, a divine nature. That's why God calls him the first fruit among many brethren. He's the first. So he secured the divine nature, and then we have to be born again. When we're born again, we get that divine nature. We got to walk in that divine nature. And it was easy, we was talking about this, to some, in the sin nature, it's easy to do wrong. You don't, sometimes you don't even think about doing wrong. You just do wrong. And you don't feel complete and satisfied until you do wrong. But in a divine nature, you lose that appetite for wrong. What used to pull and draw on you and tug at you, which is because the temptation's still around. I mean, you know, anything you've overcome because of divine nature didn't mean you didn't overcome it because the temptation was taken away and it no longer exists. It still exists. Listen, if drinking was your issue, by sin nature, you're not going to stop. You're going to want to stop. You're going to talk about stopping. You know, you'll be hugging the commode and you say, I ain't never doing this again, but you'll do it the next day. That's just the sin nature. You don't even say, well, that person just don't. No, it's by the sin nature. You're under bondage. You're not free. But when I talk about 2014, there's deliverance from that. Because we're going to step into rest. And that's what God wants us to understand. So when we're in the divine nature, the stuff's still around. They're still selling it, but it don't bother you anymore. And then when it does, and it don't mean it won't come to tempt. But when it does, you have the authority because you walking out in the divine nature and say, are you kidding me? No way. I'm done with all that. I'm finished. I'm going this way. That's what happens. That's walking in divine nature. So it's not that it was taken away. It's still there, but it doesn't bother you no more. Before, it didn't take anything. A second, you was given to it. Now, if you have anything at all, whether it's speaking negative over your own life, anything, you got to get rid of that. You can't bring that in 2015. It's not going to help you because you won't have no rest. You're going to have the whole year where folks are resting all around you. You're not going to rest. You're going to be miserable because you're still trying to deal with what God set you free in and declare, I'll set you deliverances in 14. So we got to make sure we're getting all the chance. He said, therefore, lay aside every sin and weight which doth so easily beset us. And what do we got to do? We got to get filled up, lifted up, built up in the Spirit. And that's where the divine nature comes in. It's your spirit. So those who mind the things of the flesh, if you're minding the things of the flesh, if you go after the flesh and mind the things of the flesh, you'll reap what? Corruption. But those who mind the things of the Spirit, that's what your divine nature. What's going to happen to you? Of the Spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. I mean, understand, this simple stuff. And so that's what we have to purpose in our heart. We're going to say, you know what? We're not going to live after the flesh. That's it. You say, you mean to tell me we can just settle that? We absolutely can. How many's had some things bother you in 2014? Just some nagging little things. Sometimes they become habitual, where you go through for a while, you're good, and then all of a sudden you just, for whatever reason, there you are again with it. Well, let me tell you, we got to lay aside every weight and sin that so easily beset us. You don't want to be easily set aside in 2015. Why? Because that's when God is going to move you from one place to another place, and in that moving, it's going to be a rest. Listen, when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, it was on the 14th that he said, I'm going to do it. By the evening, when it changed the next day, they were doing this on the 15th. They were out of there on the 15th. Then he teaches them how to tabernacle in the wilderness. So the Feast of Tabernacles starts on what day? The 15th. What is he saying? Leave your house. So they still celebrate that, right? That's the time of the year to do it. So they'll celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. So what are they supposed to do? They leave They leave their home and they go pitch a tent and they get in the tent and live there for 7 days. What a, you know, me, I know we went camping. My wife don't like to camp more than 2 minutes. I mean, that's her max. Couple minutes. Y'all ready to go? She stinks. She said, well, so what's the matter? She said, I'm thinking about that house. I got a bed. Who wants to sleep on a sand? She said, there's no way. So she's not a camper. But listen to the children of Israel. They had to pitch a tent and tabernacle. And when they pitched it for 7 days, they were supposed to remember the time that God gave them rest when they didn't have to do anything. They didn't have to work at all. They got up in the morning and they went out and the manna was on the ground. How many would like to know that you can get up in the morning, think about this, and the money's in the bank. And you just keep checking it and it just keeps deposits. Every day is this deposits going in. You go, man. Wouldn't that kind of give you a little rest? You better believe it would. Because a lot of our toil and a lot of our struggles is we're just getting tired. And we're working and we're getting tired. And the reason we got to work and we're tired because we got bills to pay. How many want some rest on that stuff? Well, you got to say, before we get to the mark here, we're about to get there. You got to say, while I'm talking, you can be doing this. Lord, I'm free from that. And I thank you for it. I'm delivered from that kind of mind. I won't think that way no more. I won't get myself in bondage anymore. I'm not gonna speak debt over my life. I'm not gonna speak death over my life. I'm not gonna speak sickness, disease, infirmity of any kind. It all gotta bow to the name of Jesus. How many on here? Lack has got to bow to the name of Jesus. I'm going to ask you this. Did Jesus, or do we know of anything that Jesus lacked when he was in his ministry? He needed transportation. What did he tell him? He said, you go to a certain house, there's going to be a coat tied there. You tell them we need it and bring it to the master. And no hesitation. You understand what I'm saying? He just went there. He said, you just go over there and get it. Let's get that in today's terms. You ready for that in today's terms? You got something that you need to get you from a point A to point B because it's going to maximize your ability to win souls. And you have no lack when it comes to finances to get that done. You won't sit back and say, if I had the money, I'd go. Now, y'all hearing what I'm saying? If I could, I'd go. How many want no lack when it comes to winning souls in 2015? Jesus never had any lack. If he needed to go from point A to point B because it maximized his ability to win the loss, it was there for him, provided already. So you go to a certain place, certain house, tell the man I need the coat, and it was no argument. It was done. It was like his money in the bank. Now, we don't know the details of how all that went, but I'm sure of it. That somehow one day he passed by that fella's house. And he did something to help him. And he said, let me tell you, anything I got is yours. I don't care what it is. You just say it. You don't have to tell. You don't have to. You send anybody. And when they say it's for the master. What did he tell him to say? He said, tell him the master needs it. How many know if you're doing in 2015 what God wants you to do. If the master needs you to be doing that, the master will provide for you to get it done. But this is what won't work in 2015. I don't know, but it ain't working for me. You got to get delivered from that because that ain't going to work in God. That don't work in the kingdom. You know, I don't know. I just can't be healed. I've been praying for this for a long time. You keep saying that, and that's exactly what you're going to get. Listen, it's not about whether you can be healed, you are healed. That's the stuff we got to start speaking. You are healed because that disease, I don't care what it is, it's got to submit to the Word of God because you're talking about divine nature. When you're talking about, I don't know, I can't, I may be, that's the sin nature. That's of the flesh. That's what the mind thinks by itself. That's why he said, let this mind be in you which was in Christ. Christ never spoke that away. Not one time did he speak that away. He said, I'll tell you what, there's going to be a certain person. He's going to have a room. Go up there and tell him we need him and create a room. It's going to be taken care of. Was it taken care of? Absolutely. Because he had no lack. Everything was provided because it was all about being in the will of God and the timing of God. It was all provided. To the point why he was on the cross, not breathing anymore, dead. Everybody say dead. A man named Joseph comes and says, I don't know if y'all got a tomb for him, but I've been having one waiting for him. Took him off the cross, put him on his own tomb. You see, it's all provided. There was no lack, even because God, listen, God always provides what he plans. If he's got the plan, if you follow in the plan of God, he's going to provide. But we got to make sure we're delivered. So listen to me. Deliverance is not hard. It don't take us going through hours and hours of prayer and shaking folks. Listen, if I keep you up long enough and shake you enough, you're going to say, I got it going. I guarantee you will. You know, you'll say you're feeling better even though you're not feeling better. Yeah. I'm good. I just got to go home. If it took that, then he would have told us that's what we needed to do. But this is what we need to do. We got to trust his word. He said it's yours. You got to live it out. Walk in it. It belongs to you. It's yours. And so I just said, I was just sitting there. I said, Lord, what's your word for today? What you want? And this, the Lord began to remind me of all these things. And so the number, go to the next one. In the 15th day of the first Hebrew month is Nisan, is the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. How incredible that is. A day of rest for the children of Israel and for Christians. It's a day of rest. The 15th day of the seventh month, seventh Hebrew month, begins the Feast of Tabernacles, also a day of rest. How many ready for the day of rest? I'm ready for it. Glory to God. But one thing I want, I got to get delivered from every kind of negative talking, speaking. I got to get out of that. That's a bad habit. We don't need that. Now, how many want to make a commitment to the Lord that you're going to watch yourself this year to not revert back to speaking in a negative way? Don't speak over yourself negative. Everybody's got ailments. Look, we're getting older. We might as well face it. And so when you get up, you're going to feel some things maybe cracking a little bit. That's okay. But you don't go, ooh, my, don't be claiming it. We know it's bugging you, but you got to say, you know what? I'm gonna feel better. And I'm feeling like my youth. Look, he said, he talks about restoring your youth like the eagle. And you're not, you know, you have to speak that over your life. You know, how many want to just read stories about other people who walked in victory? I don't want to just read stories like that. I want to know that I can walk in victory. So what happened was, those who was delivered, they done everything they were supposed to do on the 14th. When it come to the 15th, they experienced rest. One of them was Joshua. Joshua was delivered. They came time for Joshua and Caleb to go and spy out the land. And they went out there and they saw these giants and they saw all of these the armies and walled cities and said, you know what? Let's take them. We didn't come here to play games. We didn't come here to chit-chat. We ain't interested in that. We don't want to serve their gods. We got a God. Why we want to serve their gods? We got one. We got the Most High God. So what are we talking about? We want to go see what they're doing. We don't need to see. This is Joshua and Caleb's attitude. We don't need to see. We got the Most High God. There's no reason to go and try to serve another God. So see, absolutely incredible. So this is what's important to think that away. But there were others. There was others that didn't experience deliverance. They were grumblers and complainers. And they complained about everything. So when they saw the walled cities, when they saw these armies, they said, "We're finished. They might as well bury us now. We're done." Don't be talking like that. Are y'all here? Would to God we'd have stayed in Egypt. You understand what you're saying? You're talking about going back. Well, we're not talking that way. We're talking about deliverance. So do you see the difference in the way people talk? Two guys say, "Let's take them." That's the attitude we want to have in 2015. Let's take them. Are y'all ready for that? I hope y'all are. Because we're going to get crazy around here. If you come to church and you say, "I'm sick," well, we're going to say, "Get up here. Ain't no reason for you to be sick. We pray for you." The Bible says the prayer of faith will save the sick. He said, "If there are any sick among you, call for the elders of the church, anoint them with oil." And what happens? The prayer of faith will save the sick. And if they've committed any sin, it'll be forgiven them. That's the Bible. You make this stuff up. That's what it said, but we don't live it out. We don't walk in it. It's ours to walk in, and we don't do it. Jesus never lacked for his ministry. If our ministry's for the kingdom of God and winning souls, we won't lack. We got trips coming up. We're going to go to Costa Rica. There'd be no lack. That money's done already. You understand? We don't have to fret over where we're going to raise the money. That's already done. If that's where God wants us, we're going. There won't be one penny short. Is everybody ready for this? Because let me tell you, you can get to the point where you like your ailments. And that's what the children of Israel did. They loved their ailments. And God was so tired of it. And he showed them, he said, "You won't have to do anything but get up and collect bread. I'm going to give you the bread from heaven." That's incredible. So what'd they do? Because they were so locked in of that not walking the deliverance out, they begin to complain about what they didn't have still. And God was just showing them, "I'm the provider, I'm the provider." I don't want God to have to do that for me. I want to be able to be thankful and give him praise and honor and glory and lift him up because truly he deserves the praise. So the 15th represents the day of rest. Look at the next one. God told Abraham in a vision, just as the sun was setting to begin Nisan 15 on the Hebrew calendar, that his descendants would end up as slaves in a foreign country. Where was that foreign country? Egypt. They would, however, eventually be set free. He told them that in Genesis 15, 12 through 16. So you look at that. They're going to be slaves. The next one, many years later in Egypt, God miraculously delivered Israel's firstborn from the death angel just as Passover began. When did it begin? After sunset on Nisan 15. Then, 24 hours later, just as the sun was setting to begin Nisan 15, what did God do? The children of Israel began to leave Egypt. How many are ready for this? The children of Israel begin to leave Egypt. Remember what he told them that night? He said, "I want you to gird your loins, put your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and eat in haste." Eat in haste. Is everybody ready for this? That's the attitude we got to have right now. We don't have, what's my time? You got to keep me on a clicker there. All right? You got 35 minutes. Do you understand the seriousness of this? You got to get poised. Position is everything, and your posture, how you go into 2015, is going to matter. Whether you're going to continue the same habits you've had, or you change and things change. So your posture's got to be different. So what did he tell the children of Israel? He said, "Put your shoes on your feet, gird your loins, put your staff in your hand, and eat in haste, because tomorrow we're going." your posture. You got to be ready to go. How many ready to go? So you see, you can say, oh yeah, I want better. I want better. I want 2015 is going to be my rest. Glory, I'm going to be in health. But your posture don't say that. See, your posture has to say that. You have to make sure that your attitude says that. So when the spies spied out the land, and Caleb and Joshua, their posture was right. And their attitude was right. They knew who they believed in. They was trusting God. God was incredible to them. And they weren't stopping. They knew. Well, they went around, wandered for 40 years, and after they'd gotten old, Caleb steps up and says, listen, the Lord has kept me these 85 years. He said, I'm just as strong as I was when I was 40. I want to know what happened. I want to know. I want to know what did he tap into that caused him to not feel the aches and the pains that everybody else was dying off in the wilderness with. They were dropping like flies, and Caleb was over there going, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. He's not looking to the little hills. Over here, we said, well, I don't want no mountain. I just give me a little levee, you know, because I don't know if I can make it. I want to know why Caleb had a different attitude. Yes. The Bible says he had a different spirit in him. Yes, sir. Something happened on the inside. I'm thinking that he's showing us an Old Testament tapping into the divine nature that was prophesied to come. And he knew God was going to provide it. He knew it, so he started receiving it in advance before it ever got here. I don't know about you, but that's some strong faith right there. So what does he say? He looks at a mountain. He says, you know, I want that mountain right there because that's where I saw the biggest guys. I'm talking about them guys were strong and they were tall and they looked mean. That's the ones I want. You give me that. Here's an old man saying, give me that mountain. I don't want to know why he was doing that. He had a rest and he walked in some type of grace that was absolutely incredible. And I want that for 2015. And let me tell you, there were some things that I believe he did. He said, I've been in bondage just like everybody else. But all that bondage was on the outside. They ain't a day one, they had my bondage in my heart. My heart belongs to the Most High God. And him only I'll serve. And that was what Caleb was. He was giving all the glory and all the praise to God. And that's what we have to do. So your surroundings could be in trouble. And there can be some things going on around you. But your words and your attitude has to project what God has declared in his word about you and to you. Same thing with your wellness. There's going to be days you don't feel well. How many of you have not felt well? And you don't feel well. And there's a couple ways we got to understand about how we attack this. Now we got man's method. Man's method so you can go and get any kind of thing you want over the counter. And if that don't work, once we do the over the counter, what we do next? Then we go to the guy who can get it from behind the counter. And then when that don't work, who we go to? We go to God. We've exhausted everything we can do, then we go to God. Well, we got to turn that around. Before we go over the counter, behind the counter, we got to say, Lord, this is my body, and you made it. And I don't know what's going on, but you know what's going on. If I'm doing anything wrong, you got to show me so I can do it right. But I walk in divine health, you declared it over me, and I thank you for it. Jesus received stripes for my very healing, and I'm going to walk that healing out. And I'm going to tell you, I believe the church is leaving from that instead of going to that. I believe that we've left that before. There's been times we've seen God do amazing things. We've prayed over our children when we didn't have a dime. We didn't have a dime to take them to the doctor when they did get sick. So all we had was faith. Do you understand that? We used it and got through it, and everybody turned out okay. But then we get some money, and we get some friends, and we get some contacts, and then that's what we go to instead of God. We got to have deliverance from that attitude because it doesn't work in 2015. Because it's a time of rest and we won't be resting. How many want to rest? And this is, listen, if we expect, and listen, I love Plaquemines Parish. And this is going to be, it's a new start. We got a new president. We got a bunch of new council members. Listen, and we got a lot of stuff that we can look forward to. Listen, we've been great. Things are going, I was driving around today and just looking at things are going good. Things are changing. We're getting out of that whole Katrina, all that stuff, and things are coming. But let me tell you something. If we want to experience rest in Plaquemines Parish, the parish ain't going to fix itself. It's time for the church to be the church. It's time for the believer to be the believer. It's time for us to be the light on a hill. They're not going to change without seeing something that has changed. It's not going to happen. You and I are the light of the world. We're the light. We're the ones that are going to make a difference. You can't make a difference because you shout the loudest. You can't make a difference because you can collect enough people to march on some mall. That's not how we make a difference. We make a difference because every day we get up, we have spoke over our lives that we're going to live out according to what God declared about us, and we're going to have that rest. If we do that collectively all around, whether we speak to one another every day or not, we know that we're doing the same thing. We're saying, God, we're going to walk out. 2015 is a time of rest and a divine grace, and we thank you for it. And let me tell you, it's going to make a change. We're going to start, the atmosphere is going to change. The level of people's seriousness with God is going to change. The fact that people start coming to the Lord and repenting and returning and repenting, returning and repenting, that's when we're going to see a change in that. How many ready for that? How many ready to see your neighbor sitting on side of you, seeing your family member sitting on side of you, coming and giving God glory? A couple things I noticed when we were worshiping. Some of you got no worship at all. You got no worship. You kind of just... You ever wonder why? It's not because you don't like the song. It's not because it's not in your key. We still trying to figure out what's going on in our lives. You got to get deliverance. You got to say, Lord, I'm done with that. I'm done with that. I'm going to walk in rest. When you got rest, it don't matter if you're out of key. You're going to worship God. You're going to worship God. It don't matter if the whole music system blows up and there ain't no more. You're still going to worship God. You're going to clap your hands, stomp your feet. You're going to shout hallelujah. You're going to worship God. You don't care about all that stuff. That's just accompaniment. It's an accompaniment. It helps us move along. But it doesn't matter. When you want to worship God, you're going to worship Him. Whether anybody's on this side doing it or that side, you're going to worship. Don't wait for somebody. Say, boy, somebody just get this thing going. Well, I almost took off right there. No, you don't have to wait for somebody else to go. You just go. I mean, you got to get in your own little spot, and you say, I'm going to worship God, and I'm going to worship Him. Well, if you're doing it, and you're doing, the time you get when you do return back to this planet, you're going to go, well, what would happen? Man, everybody was worshiping God. We just locked in. We want to praise Him and honor Him. How many want that? So we see this happening time and time again. And we know that it's time for, look at the next one. I have many of them, just a few. The night is referred to as the night to be much observed. Much observed. And read that in Exodus 12, 40 and 42, Deuteronomy 16, 1. God's prophecy of freedom. How many are ready to be free? We had a little joke the other day, I got to say it, when I seen that word freedom. Jack's got an airboat that he got from Leander. And Leander's been having that airboat for 30 years? 31 years. And I was going down the pass the other day, and Jack was on side of me, and I heard the airboat singing, I am free. I am free to run. I am free. I don't know. I don't know why that airboat was singing like that, but it was... But let me tell you, freedom's important. And if an airboat can sing I'm free, then we need to be able to sing I'm free. Amen? Glory to God. Whew. I mean, there's times we out there. There's times we out there that Jack said, whew, I'm glad Lee ain't here. He sees me turn when I just turn like that on this boat. Oh, man. But if we just, you know, think about it. Freedom is important. Freedom. It's a value. God prophesies a freedom. Give to Abraham on what? Nisan 15 was fulfilled years later on what day? The exact same day. Many years later. Over 400 years later. But on the exact same day. He said, I'm going to set you free. On the 15th. How many ready for that? On the 15th. Look at the next one. After dying on the cross, Jesus' body was placed in a garden tomb. As the sun was setting to begin Nisan 15 in 30 AD. When was he placed in the tomb? Wow. I just want you to know if this is exciting to you. 3 days into it. 3 days into it, something happened. How many would be okay if you just get yourself set up for 3 days into the new year? 3 days into it. And God just start revealing himself to you. You start walking and talking and acting differently. Would that be all right?
Yes.
On the third day, what happened in Jesus? He rose from the dead. He rose from the dead. So death is spoken of as what in the scripture? As a word for it. Death is also called the what? Sleep. So death is referred to as sleep. So when you're sleeping, you're doing what? Resting. And so, how many of you know Jesus is at rest still? Well, he's not sleeping. But he's at a continual rest because he was awakened out of his rest and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Now I want you to get this. What is he doing? He's making intercession for us. He's praying for us. He's saying, God, that's my people. There they are, Lord. There they are. And so you're not in this thing alone. I'm not saying you got to take on this 2015 and this, you know, we got a few more minutes. Anybody been getting delivered yet? Any deliverance happening? You got to make sure. Shake it all off. Shake it off. Get rid of it. I don't want none of that 2014 stuff hanging on me. I'm free. Because we had a whole year of deliverance. Of freedom. I started the first sermon of 2014. And I talked about the authority of the believer and who we are. And I read that Ephesians and I went back over it on Sunday. Let me tell you, if you live that stuff out, there ain't no reason for you to have anything that's pulling you down. You got to quit speaking lack. See yourself going forward. See yourself, the momentum of the power of God working in your life, and then watch yourself operate in that rest. Amen? Let's see, I got a couple more. Did y'all get those verses? Get those verses, read those. 15, 3 by 5. 5 equals grace, 3 divine perfection. This number symbolizes the act wrought by the energy of divine grace. Divine grace. How many thank God for divine grace? Amen. 15 is a special mark of energy of divine grace issuing in glory. In glory. So I want you to understand that. In glory. These are important principles that we got to grab hold to. I will be talking about the glory. I think we're going to revisit that, some of that whole series we did on when you look into my glory. Because I'm telling you, when you get a hold to that, that thing will, it'll energize you in such a way that you'll be propelled forward into this 2015 year, and you're going to start speaking faith. And you're going to live faith out, and you're going to thank God for healing you. And you got to do it constantly. I'm talking about this. You don't do it one time, and the moment you feel anything, say, Lord, I thank you for it. And you're not begging God to do something that he already did, because he already did it. What you're doing is saying, God, I thank you. You said in your word, this is what I can have, and I'm walking it out. So I don't care what it is. God, it has to leave my body. It can't stay. It has to leave my mind. It can't stay. I'm not going to have lack. I'm not going to have sickness. I'm not going to do it. How many understand that? Very important. Look at the next one. That's it? All right. So this is what I want you to do. Where are we at, Miss Charlotte? How many? 15 minutes. Let's all stand. Thank you, Lord. Let's all come forward, everybody. We're gonna be having communion here, so everyone come forward. If you're going to have communion with us, what's the conditions for us to receive communion? One, we have to be born again. Communion is a remembrance of something that's already taken place. So I'm born again. I know it. Understand what being born again is. If you don't understand it, I'll explain it to you. Born again, you're not following after the sin nature anymore, but the divine nature. You've accepted what Christ has done, not what you've done. Nobody in here by your own works can reach heaven. You can't reach God. You can't communicate with God in your own efforts. No one. No one can in our own efforts. We do it. And we have to do it through what Christ has done for us. So the Bible says, and this is important to understand, that we have to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. We confess the Lord Jesus. Confessing the Lord Jesus is not saying, yeah, I believe in Jesus. That's not confessing the Lord Jesus. To confess the Lord Jesus is you believe everything he stood for and what he did. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You believe that Jesus is the sinless Son of God. You believe that he's the Messiah, the long-awaited one. You believe that about. And so when you're doing that, it's not a confession of, I'm going to do better. I said I'm going to do better this year. I'm going to do better. You know how many people is going to do that? There's some folks that they will come into this service. I promise you there is. I'm coming. I'm going to that service. I know the church has a service every year. I'm going. That's it. This is going to be a new year for me. And they come and make that confession. I'm going. But it's all their own efforts. And let me tell you, that'll happen to anybody here. No matter how, you got a stronger will than another person. One stronger will, another one's not as strong a will. If it took that, then only the strong will people would be saved. It has nothing to do with your strong will. It has everything to do with what Jesus did. He paid for it. You accept what he did. You embrace what he did. And so you got to know what he did. You got to know that he's the sinless lamb. He's the one that became the sacrifice for us. He's the Messiah, the long-awaited one. You accept what he did. When you do that, the divine grace will start coming.